The next morning, because of course he's not going to travel at night through the forest, Rabbi Yamin got up early and he davened and he went home to see his family and the people of his town. And as he came to the town, he's thinking, I wonder what's going to happen, because we really need such a big miracle from Hashem. And he came into the town, and in front of the shul he saw a big crowd of people. Something is happening. Something special is happening, that so many people are gathered in front of the shul. And all of a sudden the people saw Rabbi Yamin coming towards the shul, and they ran to him. Rabbi Yamin, where have you been? We want to tell you the good news. A miracle has happened. And Rabbi Yamin said, what happened? They said, last night a group of Russian soldiers came into our town, and we were so afraid. Why were the Russian soldiers here in a big group? And they said, where is the castle of Count Yupinski? We're going to arrest him and take him to jail. The Tsar's special jail in Russia. And they went to the castle of Count Yupinski, and they went in and they put him in chains, and they took him to the special jail of the Tsar of Russia. And this is what we found out. Okay, you remember that Reb Leib Tsaras went to visit the Count, and he tried to get him to be nice to the Jews, and the Count just got very angry that the Yidden would not fight together with the Poetzes against the Russian soldiers. Remember that? So after the Jews left, Count Yupinski sat down to write a letter to a group of his friends. And he says, after the war that we make, the secret war that we're going to make against the Russians, and after we win that war, we are going to make also a war against the Jews, to punish them for not helping us against the Russians. And every Jewish family will throw them out of their house and take away all of their things, and that way we'll get all rich and we'll have all of our money, and we'll throw all the Jews out into the streets to punish them and teach them a lesson for not helping us. But that's of course after we fight the Russians and throw all the Russians out of Poland. And he sent this letter with one of his special messengers to a group of his friends in a different castle. But just that day, the king of Russia, the Tsar, sent special policemen to go spy on Count Yupinski, because he had heard from different soldiers that Count Yupinski was up to no good, and he may even be planning some trouble against the Tsar of Russia. Now, of course, as soon as a king hears that there's a troublemaker against him, he sends special detectives and special spies and special soldiers to go find out if he has an enemy or not. And just that day, the Tsar had sent some special soldiers to go and spy on Count Yupinski. And they were outside of the castle. And all of a sudden, when this special messenger rode with a letter in his hand, and he seemed to be running very, very fast with a special letter, these soldiers of the Tsar said, let's go find out what that letter says. Who knows? Maybe that letter tells us something about Count Yupinski and his plans. And the soldiers ran after the messenger on his horse, and they caught him, and they pulled out their swords, and they said, you give us that letter right now, we're going to read it. And the soldier says, oh no, Count Yupinski gave me that letter to give to his friends in a different castle. And he says I have to give it, I have to ride very fast, and nobody should read it. Nobody should read it? Give it to us, I'm going to chop off your head. And they pointed the swords at his head, and of course he was very afraid, and he gave up the letter. And they read the letter. And of course in the letter it says how Count Yupinski is going to make a war against the Russians and throw them out and kill them. Aha! Here we have a very important thing to show our Tsar. This will prove that Count Yupinski is no good. And they rode to the palace of the king of Russia, the Tsar, and he showed him the letter, and he read the letter, and he says, that's it, this proves it, Count Kupinski is a traitor and a troublemaker, and he'll be thrown in my special jail. And they threw Count Kupinski in the special jail. They arrested him and put him in chains. Right after that Shabbos that Binyamin was in the forest, remember? They took away Count Kupinski. They put him on trial in front of the king himself. And the king said that he has to be sent to the North Pole. He has to work in the snow for the rest of his life until he drops dead. And so, the king was not done yet. He says, it said two things in the letter though. One thing it said was Count Kupinski, how bad he is. But the other thing, it showed me I have some very special friends. The Jews. It said in the letter the Jews would not fight against the Russians because they say, Dina de Malchusa Dina. They have to listen to the king of their land. And since the king is not telling them to do anything against Torah, so they have to listen to the king, and even they were in danger of being thrown out of their homes, it said in the letter that the Jews would not listen to Count Kupinski. They said, we have to listen to the Tsar of Russia. What does that mean? The Jews are very good. They're my good friends. And they would not do anything against me, even if Count Kupinski was ready to make trouble. And so therefore the king decreed that every Jew that lives on Count Kupinski's land gets to stay there for free. That the king of Russia lets them have the land for free. And they took all of Count Kupinski's things out of the castle. They threw it in the garbage can. And they made it to be a big, big yeshiva for the Kinnelach and a big park. And they got to learn in there and daven and play in his yard and climb on his trees. And it became a big yeshiva and a big playground for the Yiddish Kinnelach. And they made a big shul over there and a place to have chasinish. And a place to have bar mitzvahs and simchas and vort and bris milas. And a place to dance and sing and have special happy things going on over there. And that was the end of Count Kupinski. A long time ago in Eretz Yisrael, there was a place called Tiveria. It's still there. It's one of the four Halakhic shtet in Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalayim is one, Hebron is one, Tzvas is one, and Tiveria is one. Four Halakhic shtet. In this time, Kinnelach, in Eretz Yisrael, were the Romans. And there was a king of the Romans, and his name was Hadrian, Hadrianus, a Roman king. He was going one time, he was traveling one time with his army, with his officers. He was going down the road near to Tiberia, and Hadrianus looked out into the field and he saw a very strange thing. A very old man with a white beard was working in the field. He was planting little trees, little baby trees in the ground. Now why is that so strange? Because a very, very old man planting, first of all, working the chlal, working so hard in the hot sun, digging and carrying the little trees and planting them in the ground and bending down. This is a thing that you don't usually see a very old man doing. And then the very strange thing, he's doing something that really doesn't make any sense, as you're going to see. Hadrianus told his officers, "Go call this old man to come to me." The officers called the old man to go to the king. Of course, he goes. And the king asks him, "You're very old to be working in the hot sun. How old are you?" The man says, "Today is my 100th birthday." The king says, "And you're planting trees? Little baby trees? Do you think you're going to live to have the fruit from these trees? After all, it takes years for a baby tree to grow big enough to make fruit. And by the way, in halacha, even when the trees start to have fruit, you can't have them right away. First there's arla for 3 years, and then there's other things that have to happen, special things that have to happen. The fifth year that a tree gives fruit, you can start having the fruit for yourself in your house. The fourth year, you have to go to Yerushalayim. Okay, so after 4 years, you could already have something. The first 3 years, you can't have anything. And that's when the tree starts giving fruit. It takes a few years till the tree starts giving any fruit at all." And so the king says, "Old man, do you think you're going to have fruit from these trees?" And the old man says to the king, "First of all, life is in the hands of Hashem. No one knows when his time is coming. With Hashem's help, I'll live till 120 years, and I'll be able to eat from the fruits of these trees. And if not, my work is also not for nothing. First of all, as long as I have koyach from Hashem, what should I do? Sit in my house and do nothing? Of course I learn Torah, and I daven, and I do mitzvahs. But I could also work. And I could also not only think of myself, I'll think of my einiklach, my grandchildren. If I plant these trees, my grandchildren, who are young, they'll be able to eat from these trees. After all, other trees in the field, I also didn't plant. My own Zaidi, my own grandfather, planted some of these trees, and now I'm able to eat from them. Just like he helped me, I'll help my grandchildren." And the king was very, very impressed with the words of the old man. That means the king liked what the old man said. And he says to the old man, he says, "Look, I like what you said. I would like you to do me a favor. If it's going to be that you will really eat from the trees and the fruits that you're planting now, I invite you to my palace to come and tell me all about it. I want to hear about it. Will you do that for me?" And the old man says, "Bli neder, I would like to do that for you." And the old man went back to work, and Hadrianus went on his way, goes back to his palace, and the years go by. One day, Kinalach, there came to the palace of the king of Hadrianus an old man. And this old man was carrying a basket. The guards were very surprised to see, first of all, a Jew come to the palace, because Jews knew not to come to the palace. And such an old, old man. And they asked the old man, "Who are you? And what are you doing here?" He says, "I'm an old man, and I have an invitation from the king to come to the palace." "An invitation? The king invited you to come to the palace? Well, we're going to go ask the king if there's such a thing like that." They went to the king and they said, "King, there's an old Jew standing outside of the palace, and he says you invited him to come." The king laughs. "I invited a Jew, an old Jew, to come to the palace? Are you kidding? This old man must be playing some kind of a joke, some kind of a trick. You tell him, either he goes away, or if he's going to come into the palace and I find that he's making some kind of a joke, he's finished." They went back to the old man, and they said, "The king says, if you don't really have an invitation and you come into the palace, you're finished." The old man says, "Don't worry, I have an invitation, I know what I'm doing." They let him into the palace, and they took him to the king. The king did not recognize this old man. He says, "What are you doing in my palace? How dare you come without an invitation?" The old man says, "King, you did invite me, don't you remember who I am?" The king says, "No,
The old man says, many years ago, you were traveling near my town of Tiberia, and you called me to you. I was working in the field, and you asked me questions. If I'm so old and it's my 100th birthday, how come I'm working so hard? Well, I would like to give the king a basket of the fruits that grew from my trees. And he showed the king a basket of figs that he had grown from his trees. And the king remembered. He couldn't believe it. The old man became so old, and he lived to eat the fruits. The king's eyes were popping out of his head. He couldn't believe it. He says to his officers, bring this old man the golden chair. What? The golden chair? The golden chair was for the most important visitors to the palace, like kings or princes or big, big important officers. And this is the first time to any Jew that was given the golden chair. They brought the golden chair, and the old man sat down on the golden chair. And then the king says, take the figs out of the basket and fill the basket with gold. And they took the basket, they took out the figs, and they filled the basket with gold. And they brought figs for the king to eat, and the king ate figs, and he says they were delicious. And the king gave such cover to the old man. One of his officers, who did not like Jews, was very surprised, because the king also didn't like Jews, and he says, king, why is so much covered for this old Jew? And the king says, look, the king of the world, he's giving honor to this Jew by giving him a long life. If the king of the world, who's the king of the world? Hashem. If the king of the world gives this old man such a long life that he's able to live and see the fruits from his trees and to eat them, I'm also going to give him covet. And so King Allah, the old man left with great honor, with great covet, and with a basket full of gold. And now he went home. His family and his neighbors were worried, because when he'd left to go to the palace of Hadrianus, they were all worried. Which Jew goes to the palace of the king of Rome? They're all afraid of him. And he told everybody he has an invitation. They thought maybe he's dreaming or something. After all, he's an old man. Maybe he had a dream that he had an invitation from the king of Rome to go to his palace. They were worried. And now he comes back, and they saw it was true. He went to the king of Rome, and he had a basket of gold coins. It was so wonderful. His family was so happy for him. His eunuchs gathered around him. They were so proud of their Al-Tazaydi. But there were neighbors next door. And instead of taking part in his simcha, and instead of learning the lesson of hard work, or caring for others, and so many lessons you could learn from what happened, you have to learn from everything you see and everything that happens. Instead, they were just jealous. They were jealous that he got so much gold. Look at our neighbor, how much gold he got. Ooh, I wish we had so much gold like him. Ooh, it would be so nice to have so much gold. How do you get so much gold? Now, how he really got so much gold, Kinalach, was really a bracha from Hashem for all of his hard work and all of his thinking and caring about others. This is really why he got so much gold, because he wasn't trying for the gold. But the neighbors did not think into it, and they just saw that he took figs and he got gold. And the wife of the next door neighbor said to her husband, hey, why don't you also take figs to the king, and you'll also get gold? And then we'll be rich. We'll have so much money. And he started to get a basket and filled the basket with figs. And she said, no, not a basket. Take a whole big bag. Then you get more gold. He only got a little basket of gold. And you take a big bag, you'll get a big bag of gold. After all, the king took figs and he gave gold. For you also, he's going to do it, right? That's what she thinks. And so, Kendallach, he took a big, big bag. he filled the bag with figs that he thought he's going to give to the king and make the king happy with the figs. Of course, if you push so many figs in a big bag, they also get pretty squishy. And now he schleps the big bag of figs all the way to the king in his palace, King Hadrianus. And the guards all of a sudden see a Jew standing outside of the palace with a big bag. What are you doing here? And what's in that bag? Oh, I have a bag for the king, a bag of figs, a big bag. Please tell the king that I'm here with a big bag because I heard that the king takes figs and he gives back gold. That's what I want. I want to give the king my figs and I want gold. Of course, this man, Kenelach, wasn't too smart. He didn't think too much into what happens in his affair. Of course, he didn't think too much how to speak to guards of a king. Or the king himself. And the guards, they went and told the king what was happening. The king got very, very angry. When the old man came, it was totally different. And the old man was invited. This Jew just wants to get something. And the king got very upset. And he tells to his guards, tell the man standing outside that I would like to have his bag of figs, and I'm going to do something special with his bag of figs. But he has to stand in the place right next to the gate where everybody who comes into the palace and goes out of the palace, they go through that gate. Tell him that the king commands him that the whole day he must stand in the place right by the gate. There's a little place right by the gate, next to the gate. He must stand there from the beginning of the day, which is now. He came in the morning. He must stand there from now until the evening. And he will get his reward. Kenelach, the guards went to the Jew and they told him, the king says, he will take your bag of figs and he will give you your reward. Oh, the man got so excited. Oh, what am I getting my reward? Well, to get your reward, the king said, you will go now and stand next to the gate, and you will stand there until the evening. This is a royal command from the king. You will do as the king says, and you will get your reward. The yid went over and he stood next to the gate, and he thought, of course, that the king will bring him out a big bag of gold. A few minutes later, the guards brought the whole big bag. They were carrying the big bag. Oh, it must be a big bag of gold. He took my figs and he put in gold. Oh, I'm so happy. And the guards went and they put down the big bag right next to the gate, close by where the inn was standing. Hey, why don't you bring the bag over to me so I can go home? No, you're not going home. The king said you have to stand here until the evening. Well, what about my bag of gold? What bag of gold? The bag that you're carrying. The bag of gold. This is not a bag of gold. This is a bag of figs. These are the figs you brought to the king. I don't understand. I brought the king figs, and he's supposed to give me gold, so why did he put the bag of figs over here next to the gate? Didn't he eat them up? No. The king says that from this bag is going to come your reward. I know, he has to take the figs, and you have to put in the gold. Isn't that what's going to happen? No, today the king says a different thing is going to happen. And you just wait and see. He stood there in his place. All of a sudden, a few people that had been seeing the king started to leave, and they went out the gate. Each one went to the bag, and they took out a fig. And they threw the figs on the yid, and the figs started splattering all over his clothes, all over his face, on his head, in his hair. Hey, what are you throwing figs on me for? The king said that whoever goes out the gate has to take a fig and throw it on the man standing next to the gate. This is a command from the king. He told us to do this. What? Yes, this is what the king said. The whole day, whoever left the palace took a fig, threw it on the man until he was covered with figs. This was what the king had commanded, and of course the yid could not leave or else he was breaking the command of the king. At the end of the day, he walked home, or he waddled home like a duck because he was covered from head to toe with figs from his bag. He knocked on the door of his house, and his wife says, "Who's there?" It's me, your husband. "Oh, what took you so long?" "Well, I was busy getting my reward." "What? Oh, so much gold. It took you a long time to get home, right?" "Well, it took me a long time to get home for a different reason." She opens up the door. "Ah! What's that? What is that?" She saw this big pile of stuff right there. It was moving. It had two eyes sticking out of it. "What is that?" "It's me. I'm covered with figs." "What happened? Hey, you fell down in the bag?" "No, I didn't fall down in the bag. But I made a big mistake." "What was the big mistake?" "Well, the big mistake is that you should have also come with me to see the king. Then you would have been together to get the reward." "Oh yeah, we would have gotten gold together?" "No, we would have gotten something else together. You would have got the same reward like me. That was the big mistake. The big mistake, I didn't say you should come together with me to go to the king. Then we could have both got the reward." And that, kiddies, is the maaseh from the fig.